Aleluia, aleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat a meal." He summoned the crowd and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what enters one's mouth that defiles the man, but what comes from out of the mouth is what defiles one." Then his disciples approached him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He said in reply, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into the pit." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, we see a dramatic shift. A couple weeks ago, when we pondered Jeremiah's vocation story, when the Lord revealed to him that 18 years before, when he's still in his mother's womb, he was being called and consecrated to be a prophet to the nations. He said that Jeremiah's mission would involve two different actions: to root up and to plant. That he would tear down, but he would also build. After relentlessly prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah due to infidelities, that its wounds were incurable and bruises grievous, today we see the shift to the planting and the building that would come. The Lord would indeed rebuild Zion again and appear in all his glory. God announces through Jeremiah that he will restore the tents of Jacob, that there will resound songs of praise, that their leader shall be one of Jacob's own and his ruler shall come from his kin. Ultimately, that you shall be my people and I will be your God. We know that those words would receive a partial fulfillment at the end of the Babylonian exile. They will be brought to total completion at the end of the exile from sin, when God himself would take on the flesh of one of their own, when God himself would pitch his tent among us, when God himself would lead us in songs of praise and make us not only his people, but his sons and daughters, when God would literally appear in all his glory, wrapped in swaddling clothes. The incarnation of the Son of God in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary was going to be the fulfillment of that prophecy. Today we celebrate the dedication of St. Mary Major Basilica in Rome, constructed in the 430s by Pope Sixtus III and his famous archdeacon, the one who would become Pope St. Leo the Great, in response to the Council of Ephesus that declared that Mary was not merely the mother of Jesus Christ according to his humanity, because Jesus wasn't two persons in one, but one divine person with two natures, that she was in fact the Theotokos, not just the Christotokos. She was the Mother of God. In the 5th century mosaics that still wondrously adorn the basilica, we see the victory announced by Jeremiah on display. All along the nave, we see the progression of salvation history through Abraham, through Moses, through Joshua, through David, culminating in the triumphal arch of the basilica where Mary's virginal yes comes to fruition, literally, where Jesus' miraculous birth, the homage of the shepherds and magi, all of it is displayed for us. It's there in the Basilica of St. Mary Major that we celebrate the Incarnation. It's called the Christmas Basilica because of the tradition of the creche that Helen had brought back from Bethlehem in order to be placed there. But it's not just a homage to Jesus' birth, but to Mary's motherhood, the mother who placed that child in that crèche. In the 13th century apse at the end of the basilica, we see Jesus welcoming his mother onto his throne and crowning her as queen mother, mother not only of him, but of all of us whom he entrusted to her as he was triumphing on the cross. It's there in that basilica that we shrine the image of Mary, Salus Populi Romani, the salvation of the Roman people, salvation of the Roman Catholic Church, not because she's our Savior, but it was through her that the Savior not only did come, but continues to come to save us all. So we celebrate the feast of the dedication of St. Mary Major, just like with the celebration of the dedication of any of the other patriarchal basilicas or the dedication of our own particular parish churches or our cathedrals. The Church always wants to have us ponder what the true temple is. The true temple, as Jesus himself announced when he drove the money changers out of the temple precincts, is Jesus himself, would be torn down and built up again. But that isn't where it stopped. The true temple is Jesus' body, yes, but also his mystical body. St. Paul developed that said each of us individually in the body is meant to be a temple of God within us. And then all of us together, it's meant to be that temple too. Feast days like today's are opportunities for us to ponder our own dedication as a temple to God's glory and to reconsecrate ourselves to God's holy purposes. We're examining yesterday, as we contemplated Pope Francis' words on adoration, that everything we do liturgically is meant to foster the true worship of God. And likewise, we could say that everything we do as individual temples and communally, as a community or as an entire church, is likewise meant to foster that true worship, that logike latreia. There's a temptation sometimes to focus liturgically so much on rubrics or the liturgical going and coming that we can forget the why behind the what. We can be professing the Lord's name on our lips, but our hearts would be far from him. That's the danger we see among the Jews portrayed for us in today's gospel, where so many of the Pharisees, because of the halakha instead of the commandments, these rabbinical interpretations of how to live out the law, which were not announced by the Lord, they began to think that the way they ritually washed their hands was where their covenant with God stood. That you take 1.5 eggshells of water and you'd pour it over your hands this way and just let it drip down and make sure every last drop dripped off. And then you'd flip your hands upside down and you'd pour another 1.5 eggshells down. And then you'd make fists and you'd dry off your hands. And if you didn't do that the right way, you were outside of that relationship with the Lord. Jesus came and he said, it's not what we do on the outside, it's not even the food that we eat that corrupts us. It's what comes from the inside, what comes from the heart. Whereas the people of his time had traveled from Jerusalem way up to Galilee to ask Jesus this question, Jesus wanted to convey to them and to all of us that it's not whether our hands are ritually cleansed, but whether our heart is pure, which matters most to him. More than anyone, Mary wants to help us, to mother us, we could say, to become true temples, just like she was the Ark of the Covenant, the one in whom the Word of God tabernacled himself. We celebrate this feast of the dedication of St. Mary Major Basilica on August 5th because of a miracle that happened in the year 354, when even though Rome only gets snow once a generation, and Rome is so hot and humid during the summer that it would never happen then, on the Esquiline Hill there was snow right there. Pope Liberius, the tradition goes, went out and traced the original outlines of the first basilica dedicated to Mary on that hill. We've never found that basilica. But when we were looking for a day to celebrate the basilica that's still there, we chose this day because of that tradition of Our Lady of the Snows. Mary had appeared to the patrician John and to Pope Liberius the night before, saying she was going to give a sign where the church would be built in honor to house that great mystery. There's a greater miracle that God wants to do than making snow appear in the middle of summer in one of the most brutally humid places. It's what the Lord wants to do on us, and not just put snow over our hearts, but to actually transform them to be as white as snow. And Mary teaches us how to do that, how to build, how to become a real shrine for Christ where he can appear in all his glory. He is the temple who wants us individually and together to become with him the temple of his glory, to experience that full triumph. Today, as we celebrate the dedication of the basilica built to honor her holy motherhood, one of the greatest ways we could venerate her is to allow her to help us to become more and more like her, a true tabernacle of God's presence. In the midst of this retreat on the missionary transformation of the church, we need to recall that the church is a mission, and that the church is Marian before being Petrine. And therefore, if we're going to learn how to be that mission, Mary is our great teacher. She shows us that mission. There are lots of ways that we could examine how Mary shows us, but one of my favorite meditations to do when I ponder Mary, this is what the Second Vatican Council always asks us to do, focus on sacred scripture at the beginning to derive our Marian piety so that we're precisely able to preach it based on God's word. I'd like just to see, by examining her seven words in sacred scripture, how she mothers us to become that temple God wants us to be. Remember her first word, how can this be? She teaches us by that word how first to listen to the word of God, treasure it so much that it takes on our own flesh, how to enter into that dialogue with the word of God. That question, of course, would make no sense unless she had already consecrated herself as a virgin to the Lord. Otherwise, she would have well known how it would be that she would become a mother. It only makes sense if she were always going to be a virgin and she was asking, am I going to change path? Or is there some other way that this is going to transpire? That's when, as we know, the Holy Spirit, the archangel said, would overshadow her, and she'd conceive that child who would be given the throne of David, his father. We learn from this word not only how to pray, but we also learn about the virginal meaning of our entire existence. No matter what's happened to us in the past, no matter what choices we've made, the real call to virginity, that real call to consecration, means God comes first. And we can always recover that first gift of ourselves to God, which is the virginal meaning of our body, which will come to its fulfillment in heaven when God will be all in all. First thing in this missionary transformation to become that evangelical church is through prayer, learning anew from Mary how to be first and foremost totally for God. Second word also happened in the Annunciation. Let it be done to me according to your word. It's how Mary, hearing the word of God so much, treasuring it within, putting it all together like the piece of mosaic, holding on to it, puts that word of God into practice. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. She shows us that in this missionary transformation, we're all called to become servants of God, handmaids, who want our entire existence to grow in alignment with God's holy will. Third, as temples dedicated to God and seeking to do his will, we'll then with alacrity and enthusiasm seek to bring this gift of Christ to others. full of joy, so that they too may rejoice and leap with God. We recognize that our beatitude, as Mary says in her Magnificat, it's because the Almighty has looked on our humility and made it possible for us to magnify Him. That because of our hunger for Him, He has filled us with those good things. This is a crucial part of the new evangelization, that we go to give birth to Jesus and others. Fourth, Mary teaches us how to unite our whole life with the Lord, and that unless we're united with Him, we will be disoriented, just like she was when she lost Him for 3 days. And in that dialogue with Jesus as a boy in the temple, we learn that just as Jesus needed to be about His Father's business, so too Mary and all of us need to be about those same affairs. We learn from her in that scene how to place all the situations, including the difficult crosses, things we would rather take back and have a do-over on, how they're all supposed to be those tesserae that she, as St. Luke tells us at the end of the scene, placed together and treasured. Fifth, we learn from her how to bring the needs of the entire people of God to Jesus and to pray to Him directly. They have no wine, she said in Cana, a detail she noticed before everyone else noticed, before even the mother or the bride noticed, because love always notices the little details. To rededicate ourselves, we need to reconsecrate ourselves to this mission of intercession, bothering Jesus, as Pope Francis says, if we have to, persistently asking, even if it might not seem the proper time, place, or hour. Sixth, in this missionary transformation, we learn by our own example and by our words how to encourage others to do God's will. Do whatever He tells you, Mary says to the servants. By our own being handmaids, our own being servants of the Lord, we show others how to trust in cooperating with Him as well, and to do with enthusiasm what He asks, so that He will be able to do far greater miracles. Lastly, we turn to her most eloquent word of all, which was said in body language, her inaudible fiat at the foot of Jesus' cross. We often live out our dedication to God in silent presence with others, in good times and in bad, in poverty and prosperity, at bedsides, in baptisms. This is also the silence of our contemplative prayer. This is the silence of humble, hidden service seen only by the Father. This is the silence of compassion and accompaniment, walking with them along the roads of Emmaus in every age. Mary teaches us all seven of those elements to this missionary transformation. She seeks to mother in us, to midwife in us, precisely that type of growth. Pope Benedict used to say that Mary is the model for the transmission of the gospel. Shows us how to conceive first the Word, to let that Word grow in us so much, so big, that we can't help but give it to the light, as the Latins say about childbirth, to give birth to it, to give Jesus over to others. We conceive the Word of God through our ears, St. Ambrose says, and it's supposed to grow in us in such a way that we can no longer keep Jesus to ourselves. But we have to pass it on, and we pass it on not the way we've received it. We pass it on together with our own flesh, as Mary herself did when she gave birth to the Word of God. The greatest way we become a temple, the temple God wants, the temple consecrated to His glory and service, is by allowing Jesus to enter into us with the faith with which Mary allowed Him to enter into her. The mystery of the Incarnation happens here in Mass and happens within us. How can this be, we ask. And Mary tells us, the same Holy Spirit that overshadowed me in Nazareth is about to overshadow this altar and this priest, so that what begins as bread and wine becomes the same Jesus whom I tabernacled for 9 months within, the same Jesus I received at the masses of the first apostles. This is where we say in our Amen, our So Be It, our this supports my whole life, our yes with 1,000 exclamation points, our echo of her own fiat, let my whole life develop in accordance with this word made flesh. This is where most our spirits rejoice and our souls magnify not ourselves but Him. This is where the Lord feeds us in all our hunger with the greatest good of all. This is where He strengthens us always to be about our Father's business. This is where we bring all the needs of the world so that He will transform the good things of the world, the water that He created, into something even greater, the best wine of all. This is where we're strengthened to do whatever God says. This is where we stand reverently and silently at the foot of the cross, and at the same time kneel before the throne of grace. This is where we are rededicated, and this is where we become most God's people and confess Him our God. Today, as we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary, we do so by learning from her this crucial lesson, so that we may enflesh the missionary transformation of the Church that the Holy Spirit wants to bring about in each of us and all of us together. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.